Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. A special Thursday edition of Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, doing great. How are you guys?
Mike, we're doing great. And I hate to bring this up every week. You're getting ready to roll your eyes because I'm guessing everybody, they can't quite figure this pass interference thing out. What is the problem? I mean, it's got to be clear-cut if they can't figure it out, how do you explain it to your fan base, your coaches, the players, and everything else?
Well, and here's the problem, right? They don't want to have a rash of stoppages late in a game. And when you think about it, pass interference, the hand fighting, the incidental contact, there could be, when we get into the automatic review window, the final 2 minutes of the game, there could be plenty of situations where the replay official looks at it and says, well, you know what? It's not clear and obvious that the ruling is correct, so we'd better have Al Riveron take a closer look. So you could have every pass play in the final 2 minutes subject to replay review. So they've changed the standard. The replay official will only initiate an automatic review by Al Riveron if the replay official in the stadium concludes watching the game in real time or watching a full-speed replay. That replay official has to conclude that it's clearly and obviously wrong. That's the standard the league came up with last week. What concerns me is this. You've got Al Riveron meeting with people from NFL media, showing an example of a Chargers-Chiefs play last year where there was pass interference called against the Chiefs. The replay showed Mike Williams of the Chargers with a little bit of an arm extension. And Al Riveron saying, hey, this would be an automatic review and it would be offsetting fouls and the Chargers would have had the ball basically a do-over. Third and goal from the 10, just like it was before that play happened. But here's the problem. Where's the line between when you do and you don't initiate the automatic review? We know with Rams Saints, 17 out of 17 replay officials, because that's how many there are, 17 total crews, 17 of them would say, that's clearly wrong. This Mike Williams thing, I don't know that 17 are going to say, that's clearly wrong, I must initiate a replay review. So that's really the question. In practice, how will the replay officials determine when to press that proverbial button and call for an automatic review? My concern is they're going to do it too often. And the problem is there's going to be situations where they don't do it often enough. And you're going to have a controversy over whether or not there would have been an automatic review. So then here's what you're going to have. You're going to have situations where the replay official doesn't do the automatic review and someone from the league office privately or publicly says, well, if they would have done the automatic review, we would have overturned the ruling on the field. So 100th season is coming up, and I know the NFL doesn't want anything to mar it. They better get this right or it's going to undermine the whole thing.
Just to follow up to it, it seems to me, just watching all sports, officials don't want to be the story at the end of a game. Would you agree? In any sport?
They don't want to be the story. That's why, as a practical matter, the penalty flag gets shoved even deeper into the pocket.
Oh, man.
Right?
Yep.
So, I think the NFL is hoping that, here's the thing. They want to fix the circumstances that led to Rams Saints. Right. And this is going to go too far. And you're going to have too many of these situations. Because I look at it this way. The Mike Williams non-call wasn't so egregious that people would have lost their minds.
That's right.
And you would have had people saying this was clearly a horrendous call. That's not the kind of thing they should be stopping the game for. That's the point. If you stop the game for that, what other plays like that do you stop the game for? It needs to be only in those situations. This needs to be break glass in event of emergency type stuff.
Totally agree.
And with Al Riveron peddling this as something that would be automatically reviewed and partially overturned, I got a problem with that because it tells me there's going to be a lot more like it.
One crappy call. Jeez. Look at what one crappy call in a huge NFC game, championship game, has done to us.
That's a pretty big call, but I understand this is a lot of BS here. All right, speaking of the most pressing news of the day, two-part question for you, Mike. One, are you following OJ on Twitter? And second, is it classless of us to read just all the replies to OJ's tweets here on the show as a full segment? What do you think about that?
Yes. Now, look, I don't care what you do. I mean, it's entertaining. It's just sad. Here's the thing. Here's what I did. I started to follow him on Twitter when I saw the video. I woke up Saturday morning and someone had sent me the video of him saying, I got some getting even to do.
Yeah.
Okay. And then after a day, I thought, I just can't do it. I can't do it because this guy thinks that all these people who are following him support him. I don't support him. I loathe him. He's a double murderer who should be in prison. And I'm not going to let my number add to the total. And I hope other people feel the same way that he sees and thinks, well, what? Like, you know, I don't want to get political here, but the president's got 61 million followers. Those are not 61 million people who support the president. I guarantee you that. So I think O.J. Simpson thinks that his followers are all supporters, and I think the president probably thinks that his followers are all supporters.
Well, we're just in the entertainment stuff. All right, let's move on real fast before we...
Text machine will be lit up with the text machine stuff.
Yeah. Hey, Josh Gordon playing...
But, you see, my point... My point I'm just saying that that any politician... Right, he's going to think, oh, look at all these followers I have. Well, but no, they're not necessarily following.
No, there's no question.
Like I'm sorry if I've loaded up your text machine with. I hope that
you've
people can be
before.
Reasonable and have some common sense and get my point on that without just yelling and screaming and saying stick to sports.
Hey, Mike, I want to ask you about Josh Gordon.
You're doing a good job of changing the subject.
Boy, did you see me sprint through that one? Hey, Mike, you're already getting ripped enough.
I love your favorite pizza, Mike.
Mike, I've been with you longer than this wife, but hold on a second here. We're going to go ahead and move on. Hey, I do want to ask you about Josh Gordon. Is he, if he comes back like it looks like, if Brady's playing catch with him, unless he just really likes him, does he got to go through another suspension? And how many lives does this man have?
Now, well, here's the thing. He's subject to reinstatement. And the NFL, I believe, has found a way to be less stringent, less draconian in its application of the substance abuse policy. Last year, for example, Josh Gordon got to play a decent chunk of the season. Martavis Bryant hung around for a while. Randy Gregory was around deep into the season. Yep. Those guys had all been reinstated after suspensions of more than a year. You're supposed to be on extremely thin ice, on paper thin ice, when you come back from a full suspension of a year plus. And one false move and you're out again for another year minimum. And I think the NFL has been exercising some discretion here because the NFL realizes a couple of things. First of all, the war on drugs is over, okay? And in many cases, the drugs won. Secondly, 34 states allow marijuana use for medical purposes. Others allow it for recreational purposes, some subset less than the 34. But the stigma's not there anymore. These guys are using marijuana on their own time, and why should we run these guys out of the sport because they're doing something that legally can be done by millions of Americans? The NFL needs great players. Why are you cutting off your nose to spite your face? That is the reality the NFL has kind of eased into, but they don't want to announce that to the world because they don't want to give up any of the power they have under the substance abuse policy. So it's a weird posture for the league.
Yeah.
But it tells me that they are giving guys benefit of the doubt, and they aren't as hung up on marijuana as they once were.
Mike, I'll tell you one thing. I've never seen a guy come back after being out of football so many times and be so good. I mean, he is amazing. I don't know what he does.
Ricky Williams did.
Ricky did it too. And you know what? Ricky got his weight down. It didn't go up. It went down when he was done, and you're right.
Surprising with the weed smoke too.
And he never got the munchies. He claims he works out better smoking high.
Some people do.
I used to want to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and potato chips at Berkeley.
And that's it. That's all you're going to do.
Of course, I stopped after Berkeley.
Sure you did. Mike, all right, so you're going to go jewelry shopping. You could bring Joe Rose or Drew Brees to go buy diamonds. Who are you bringing?
I'm not going jewelry shopping because you know going in. I mean, what's investment grade diamonds? Are you kidding me? Who invests in diamonds?
Not
I could
me.
Invest in a diamond mine, I guess, but I'm not investing in diamonds. Yeah, I've never heard in my entire life. Now, maybe I just haven't had enough money to be in the diamond investment you know, strata
of
society.
You're pretty good shape now, Mike. Yeah, stop
but,
it.
But, right. but the idea that you buy diamonds is an investment.
Yeah.
That's like buying a car is an investment,
yeah.
isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, that was kind of a weird thing for all the things that he could get into. He decided
it's
to
just
do
a
that
weirdest
one.
Story.
Here's what happened. He befriended this guy. This is my theory on it. This is all opinion. He befriended this jeweler, and the jeweler didn't befriend him. And the jeweler saw a mark when he and there's a huge markup when it comes to jewelry. Ridiculous markup. You know, my mom never bought anything for herself. She bought herself at one point before she passed a diamond tennis bracelet that was a couple hundred bucks, which is a huge expenditure for her. She never bought anything for herself. She'd always buy stuff for everybody else in the family, but never for herself. So, you know, she gave it to my wife before she passed, and I wanted to find the matching necklace for my wife, and I went to the local jewelry store, and I found it. Perfect. Exactly what I need. And they said, look at this. It's 90% off. Isn't this a great deal? 90% off. It's like, are you kidding me? They're like, what's wrong? Well, I'm never going to pay. I mean, whoever pays full price, the full price is obscene if you can sell the thing for 90% off right. and still make money. Right. It's ridiculous. And anybody who is buying jewelry needs to be aware of that. And if you're going to buy some multi-million dollar item and you're Drew Brees, take the damn thing and get it appraised before you buy it. I just think he got his feelings hurt by getting burned by this guy he thought was a friend. And so you turn to the legal system and you make it a big deal. And, of course, the lawyers are happy to help you out because you're going to pay them by the hour and you got millions to burn.
I would just let it go and move on. You're doing great in your quarterback life. It makes you look really bad. I think it's a bad.
What does
it makes
do
you
look
like a big
room?
Dumber.
I asked Chris Sims this. Does it hurt you in the locker room? I mean, it's one thing if you're, you know, the backup center and this happens. You're the starting quarterback.
Right.
You're one of the great quarterbacks in NFL history. Does it make you look like a fool?
Like a dummy. Yeah.
Well, listen, we got to let you go because we're out of time, and we got to talk about Aaron Rodgers next time we see you and his coach and see if they can get some things worked out. Always got a little something
going on. Here's hoping they don't. It's more interesting when they don't.
That's true. That's true. That's right. Hey, Mike, thank you so much,
thanks,
man.
Mike.
Appreciate it.
See you guys.
All right.
Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com.
Go ahead, give me a couple of text messages.
You want more
in.
Of those text
go
messages?
Ahead, give me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.